You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Should he stay or should he go? We give our thoughts on the current situation unfolding with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's future at Manchester United. Man City eliminated from the League Cup, the trophy they've won for the last four seasons. Dele Alli left out of the squad in Spurs' League Cup match at Burnley. What is going on with a player who once showed so much promise? And we'll look ahead to Saturday's crucial matchup between Spurs and Man United. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode. Okay, Rob, we had a really nice conversation with our friends and the fans at the FanFest after Sunday's matches. We kind of got our initial thoughts out on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and that performance versus Liverpool, 5-0, of course, at home. Really shocking scoreline for them. A few days have passed, mate.
Yeah.
You know, lots of media reports and different stories. Mm. Give us an update on how you think the story's progressed.
Well, it's interesting, Rob. I think the first thing that comes to mind on the basis of the game and sort of re-watching the game again is the brutal exercise that was Liverpool dismantling Manchester United that shows me there's a huge gap between Manchester United and the other three teams in the league. We were kiddied on at the start of the season by names and reputations and possible potential of what could be, that it was a four-horse race. It ain't going to be a four-horse race, Rob. Manchester United are not going to be around there on May. The most Manchester United now can hope for is fourth. They're battling Spurs, an Arsenal team who might be able to get it together, a Leicester, a West Ham, teams who might be able to put a run together. But that's where Manchester United are now. And it was interesting, Rob, because the headlines have gone from sort of Ole gets three games to save his career, that Conte's ready for the Manchester United job if offered. You know, the Manchester United route was something that's coming through lack of preparation. There's been all these kind of angles that people have thrown at. And the one thing I want to say in this, Rob, and, you know, Ole's got the three games we're hearing and you know, good luck with that. Spurs, the Atalanta and the Manchester City in the derby. Mm. And supposedly, if they get the results, suggestions are that that keeps him in a job. There's talk about unrest in the dressing room, Rob. One or two players maybe not sure about what's going on and the tactics and the way that the team are trained and coached. Well, my big takeaway, I have to say, Rob, having been through the weekend, saw the Manchester United fans at our fan fest almost like slink out of the fan fest at the end of the game, disappointed, head bowed, is that Manchester United are the biggest club in English football. But Manchester United do not want to make big decisions. Because if this was anybody else but Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I think this manager would lose his job. And I thought to myself, okay, let me sort of go back to, let me think about the other teams or the other situations. Brendan Rodgers was at Liverpool, but for this Steven Gerrard slip, would probably have won the title. The season after, things didn't start so well. They sacked him. They sacked him, Rob. I think it was after a Merseyside derby and they got Thomas Tuchel. Chelsea Football Club bought an array of young European talent, gave that to Frank Lampard and said, show us that you can be the man. After one season with Frank, things weren't looking as they should. You see, they sacked him, Rob. He's a legend. He's done as much on the pitch as all he's done, probably done for Manchester United. They sacked him. So Liverpool got Klopp. Chelsea got Tuchel, sorry if I misspoke before. And Manchester City had Pellegrini, who was going along, I think had won a title, not quite the man. Ruthless at the top of the order, went and found their man. To a point, Rob, where they found their man and named their man before Pellegrini was out. It was kind of one of the worst kept secrets in football. But big clubs making big decisions to move on, to stay relevant, to stay competitive. To Manchester United, to me, don't want to do that.
I guess you could argue that the hiring and firing Jose Mourinho was a big decision. You talk about decisions made by this football club. They decided in July, which is 3 months ago, that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and I just read some quotes from Ed Woodward, that was doing a tremendous job and wanted to tie up Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for an extra 3 years of his contract. And 3 months later, given some awful performances and scorelines that look shocking when you're a Man United fan, now all of a sudden there's a big panic about what to do. We can talk about whether he should be fired or not fired. Shouldn't we talk more about the hierarchy and the football club in general, who makes the decisions, and something that we've mentioned many times, that there's not really a football expert that's a public figure of director of football that runs the football side of the football club. And there was an interesting podcast I listened to, Rob, because we listen to other things and read a ton of stuff. And one journalist, I can't remember his name, I thought made a pretty good point that there's so many people at this giant football club that are learning on the job. Mm. And that right from Ed Woodward, who's a commercial expert, director, whatever, is kind of learning in being pretty much a director of football, making the big football decisions, to obviously appointing Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, super inexperienced, Rob, obviously at the level of Man United as a manager. Christian McKenna, a young coach, youth team coach, Man United first team coach. Michael Carrick, brilliant player, inexperienced coach, another one that's in there as well. And there's talk about Richard Arnold, I think he's the managing director right now, he says, that is probably going to go and do the Ed Woodward role, which is a huge responsibility in terms of football decisions. Now, I know, of course, the owners are involved. Now, I've read, like you have, Rob, that they're, you know, they're talking about the situation right now. But it doesn't this club deserve to have best in field, elite people in the key positions in the football club? And maybe, you know, United fans might say, well, hang on a minute. We've had Van Gaal, who's an elite manager. We've had Jose Mourinho. They haven't worked. We went with a younger guy. You know, just super big picture, Rob. Is it still, and I know, you know, you talked about that. I'm just trying to bring it back to your point of Chelsea. Chelsea's rock solid, I think, pretty much. There's guys just moved out. Michael Emanuele was one guy that moved out. But Man City's hierarchy, they're set really strong structures. Isn't that the main issue more than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? It almost isn't his fault. You were a bit, just one more point, Rob, I'll let it come back in. Mm. I was really surprised he got the job at the beginning. I know it was because he had a tremendous run and all that, but for me, he was never the right guy to lead this club forward. And you were more giving him a, you know, done pretty good job, to be fair, up to this point, but you weren't sure if he was the right man to take him forward now. I'm assuming you have your answer now.
Well, I think when we talk about a game that expressed so much about where the two teams are at the moment and showed us that with this squad, Rob, and I want to repeat myself, this club should be close to a title. May not win a title, might have some things to do.
I totally agree.
This squad... And it's an interesting point you make with Chelsea because, you know, Abramovich in the past has had his critics and people aren't sure. They have a football structure in place that is well-grooved. They've got a brilliant sort of academy system where they develop talent, loan it out, make good money that sometimes feeds the Lukaku signing. So that model's perfect. Just think, Rob, over the time... that Manchester United, if we think of from the Fergie era, think of the quality of managers that Chelsea have had, in and out. They've had some of the best, you know, Mourinho, Conte, Angelotti, Tuchel now. I mean, they've had top managers, Rob. They've chosen big time people to go in and manage their football club. And there's a point where maybe there's an argument that Chelsea rotate it too much. It's in and out, but maybe trophies would seem a bit different. Now, if I'm Ed Woodward or I'm Richard Arnold, whoever is making those decisions, Rob, I'm going to find me a guy who's going to get me some trophies. I'm going to find me one of those guys. And, of course, it's never for sure. Nothing's ever for sure. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, in the 3 years, has got... We've seen semi-finals. We've seen losses in finals. He hasn't yet landed a piece of silverware that at least says, okay, a League Cup, an FA Cup. You know, Arteta, for all his stick, lands an FA Cup, Rob, in his first season and shows that, okay, whatever people say about him, he's got that one on his record.
Rob, I think it's a bit... I think we're still not thinking big picture. Other managers at United have won stuff. Jose Mourinho won a Europa League and a League Cup. Van Gaal won an FA Cup. But look where we are. It's not about getting a manager in or a bloke in that's going to win stuff. They've done that. I go back to, it's got to be built more than that, Rob. It's got to be built more than that, that there can be a consistent best practice at this club. So the continued...
But the best can do both, Rob. I think what I'm saying, maybe I've... The best do both. The best can build something. You know, it took Klopp a little while. But he got there. They went close to the title. They win a Champions League. They win the title. Mm. Pep, we know, comes in and does it. You know, can Pep's football do it? He does it well. Tuchel comes into a group, Rob, within 6 months, not only changes the way they play, defensively sorts them out, gives them a structure, and then wins a title. With Manchester United's group of players, if you get the structure right, they can at least win an FA Cup or a League Cup. That group of players can win you a cup, and then you're buying into where they want to be is getting back to winning titles. I mean, that's the conversation we have to be talking about. Not Manchester United being fourth and winning a domestic cup. It's about Manchester United winning titles. And what Sunday showed us is, compared to Liverpool, Manchester United are nowhere near.
Mm. Just should we switch to just other potential managers right now? You know, if those three results don't go well, Rob. And, of course, in the last few days, there's been a lot of talk about potential guys to take over. Zinedine Zidane, Antonio Conte. I've got them on my brain. I'm going to do a breakdown on Mikel Antonio this weekend. Antonio Conte. And the old chestnut that was mentioned months ago, is Mauricio Pochettino, Rob. There's still sense that he hasn't settled in Paris. And that Zinedine Zidane would like to go back and coach PSG, and maybe Pochettino is still favoured for Man United. There's a sense that the power that Antonio Conte would want is not something Manchester United want to do. We know Antonio Conte is like, Rob. He makes massive impacts. He made a massive impact at three football clubs to win titles. Yeah. Yeah. Juventus from almost mid-table to champions. Of course, Chelsea did a great job. Put them back on track, champions, and Inter Milan, similarly, wow, what a job he did there to win him the title. So there's no question he can do it. It's just whether Manchester United want to give up and let him rule everything for the time. I got to be honest, Rob, we both said it, that Mauricio Pochettino would have been, for me, the perfect guy at that time when he was looking for a job to come into Manchester United. They didn't do it. Would you still think that's a good move if they went back there if the next three games don't go well for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
I mean, the problem with Pochettino is the lack of silverware.
Well, he's going to win now, isn't he? He's winning at PSG.
Yeah. But you would think, given the tools he's got at Manchester United, given a little bit of room to maybe shape that group as he would want, I mean, he would be still an excellent candidate. I have to say, Rob, and I understand why there's resistance to Antonio Conte. I go Conte for a couple of reasons. I go Conte because you know where you said, well, he wants to have control. By the way, I would rather Conte have control of the football than Ed Woodward. Do you know what I mean? I'd rather somebody in it with that football brain to say, right, I need this, this, and this behind me. He will define a style and way of playing. He comes into a football club, he works out whether it's three at the back, it's a back four, he works out what midfield screen he has to have, and then he can score his goals. He wins things. And I just think, Rob, to a certain degree, and it's really interesting that I think he brings something that Ollie will never have into a dressing room.
Yeah, of course.
And it's a hard tangible to say what that is. But I just think he walks in there and I think Paul Pogba feels different. I think Luke Shaw feels different. I think Ronaldo looks at him and feels different. And I think that's what Manchester United need. I think that some of these players are not feeling as though this time, this group, this manager, that this setup is what's going to take us to winning titles.
I hear you, and it's a great argument. I'm thinking more of the longer term, I think, with Pochettino. Like what Klopp's done at Liverpool, over a period of time, he's grown them to a superb football team and a club, and it's all worked out tremendously well. I know it's a little bit different. I know Chelsea do it a little bit differently. Yeah. Man City, of course, with Pep and the hierarchy, the former Barcelona hierarchy, have built this thing over a period of years. I just feel Man United would benefit and deserve to have a superstructure in place, Rob, that can build and steadily make this club great again, like Sir Alex Ferguson did. I mean, there's something I laughed at the other day, like Man United have only made one good manager appointment in 50 years, they're saying, like with what's happened since Sir Alex Ferguson. Of course, Sir Alex Ferguson was that guy. That's all I see. And you might be right. Antonio Conte could absolutely possibly come in and rattle the cage of everybody at the club, and they could win a title, which is fantastic. But he ain't the type to hang around too long, Rob, is he? We know that.
No, but if you knew he was a 2-year appointment, let's say, if you say let's go 2 years and then we've got time to work out, we know how it's going to end. It's a bit like Jose, you know, the end is going to come.
Yeah,
we'll do that. I don't think he's quite as abrasive as Jose. I think he's a little bit cuter than Jose with the way he plays and the way he sets his teams up. And I just feel like everything feels a bit nice at Manchester United, Rob, apart from results. I just feel like sometimes, and you've mentioned before, you have to have a bit of fear in your manager. You have to have a bit of fear in your dressing room. You have to have a bit of edge in that dressing room. I just don't know if United have that.
Rob, are we guilty of saying one thing, one manager, and another thing? I'm just thinking back, like when it was Mourinho there, other end. This is, they're so polar opposite. Like you want the hard ass guy to go in there and rattle some cages and throw some teacups around and get them winning and get them playing. Mourinho did that, and then us maybe and others start to say, well, hang on a minute, this guy, you know, treats Luke Shaw like rubbish and poor Pogba and everybody else and Marcus Rashford. And then you go to the other end of the scale and it brings a feel-good factor back, Rob. I know.
Yeah.
But obviously I think with Conte,
I think the difference with Conte, I think Conte is more of a players type of manager. I don't think he doesn't publicly throw people under the bus like Jose. He doesn't come out and, you know, my three titles and about me. I as an ex-player, I think he gets it more than Jose. And it's one of the things I think Jose sometimes lets himself down on, where it's almost like he wants to be the star. I don't think Conte wants to be the star. I think Conte wants to win. Mm. I think that's the difference.
We're going to move on in a minute, Rob, and just talk City. There's a bit of news today coming out from a respected journalist who covers Man United pretty closely that Paul Pogba is absolutely not going to sign a new contract at Manchester United. It was, 80, or like £90 million back when he signed.
Yeah.
Hasn't worked out, has it?
What? No, it hasn't worked out because in the main, Manchester United haven't worked out to get the best from Paul Pogba, in my view. They haven't worked out. Rob, we've got a top-class player who, as I was making my notes, I thought Paul Pogba in a good season where he's playing well can get double-figure goals, can get double-figure assists. Paul Pogba in a top team that's playing well, where he's at top of his game, could be the PFA Player of the Year. He's that good.
There's a lot of criticism of how managers have handled Paul Pogba. And I'll be honest, like there's times where I sometimes think, God, does he flatter to deceive? I think there's a bit of that in him, but I think you make a very valid point, and I absolutely agree that find a way, whether it's Mourinho or Ole Gunnar, find a way for him to be in the spots where he wants to be and find a way to protect him defensively, because he isn't going to be strong at doing that. And Man United, over a period of years with different managers, haven't really done it. Didn't we think when Paul Pogba signed there that maybe, well, for Juventus, it was a 4-3-3. He was one of the two number eights in a 4-3-3. Mm. Absolutely perfect. Inside left, getting forward. Maybe you tilt off with the other side, the other number eight being a bit more defensive-minded to cover, and they can slide over. No manager, and again, we don't know the finer details. Maybe Paul Pogba was hard to work with, Rob. Maybe just very difficult to work with. But we haven't really seen him in a great spot. Centre midfield, I don't think in the Premier League that he's reliable enough, unless you're a manager like Antonio Conte that will make sure he is reliable. Tough job, but that's possible. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer plays on the left-hand side. He's done okay. There's
and
other
build
roles
things
for him.
Around him, Rob. Build yeah. things around him. So the things that he's good at, your team benefit. I always think with Paul Pogba, and I'm not sure why this happens, I think he becomes an easy target for pundits, people out of the game to jump on. I think when Manchester United don't win, the first person they look at is how's Paul Pogba play. I think he's an easy target for managers to go in, and it's almost like, well, I'll get on to Pogba. Oh, Pogba this. Mourinho, you know, doesn't play him, plays him in a role. Look, I play him and this is what happens. Louis van Gaal didn't really know. I just feel as though Paul Pogba, slightly unfairly at times, becomes the guy who's always been beaten with a stick for how Manchester United are.
Hmm.
I don't think Harry Maguire's got the same amount of stick when he's made bad errors, when Luke Shaw's form wasn't that good. I don't think anybody jumped on him as much when David De Gea's form wasn't great. I think people were saying, oh, he's a great goalkeeper. I just feel like Paul Pogba's the one who is the easy target. The big player, he's won things at other places. He's got the smile, he's got the social media, he's got the dancing. But I tell you, he's got 7 assists this season and can go box to box as well as anyone in the league if put in the right place. Yes, he might need more handling, but don't many great players, didn't Diego Costa, who wins your title, don't many great players?
Hmm. Yeah, and other great players are not super great defensively.
Hmm.
And yet teams find ways. I mean, Kevin De Bruyne is such a brilliant midfield player.
Eddie Hazard at Chelsea was similar.
Yeah, there's a ton of players that you aren't going to get much defensively from them. And they are a little bit of a luxury player, but sometimes you've got to try and build around it. Just one other point, Rob, and like you, I went back and watched all the goals many times just to see just how loose and disconnected Manchester United were, which they absolutely were, really not compact as they should be. But, God, Liverpool's football. Mm. Liverpool's football. And maybe, you know, at the Fan Fest, Rob, of course, the headline, the goals go in.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the United, well, who's covering there? And Luke Shaw should have came over too far, et cetera, et cetera. Where's the midfield players? Where's the shape? Where's the pushing up? Where's the centre-back? So, but I tell you what, some of the football, and it wasn't just, you know, I've again, there was comment that United tried a high press, bad idea against Liverpool. I think they did for the first goal, maybe one other.
Yeah.
Most other times, they were kind of medium to start, and Liverpool played through them tremendously well. Of course, they weren't as compact as they could be, but some of the football, Firmino, Rob, you know, when you look back and you realise how people's involvement, you know, that football, playing through and finding the spare guy and linking and playing through lines of players was superb. Liverpool were, maybe we didn't give enough credit on the day, just how good their football was.
Tommy and Fred were stretched all over the place. And the one mention I've got to give, because we didn't get time on the broadcast and then to watch again, the Jordan Henderson pass to Mo Salah, by the way.
Yes,
for the
amazing.
It's spectacular, by the way. If Kevin De Bruyne plays that, we're repeating that a million times.
Yeah.
Beautifully weighted outside the right foot, in between foot, centre-back and three.
Yeah.
And then Mo takes that quick. Mo's got that one touch, and he's almost got the touch where it's like the ball's on elastic because it goes away from his foot. It almost seems like it comes back to him.
Yeah, because his feet.
Quick one, it's ridiculously quick, and then he just has it. Wow, it was like
Yeah, but you're right. And the craziness on the stage of the fan fest and everything going on, you know, think you're right, absolutely right. And Mo Salah's feet, his feet are so blimmin' quick to get to the ball quickly. Anyway, so I just thought we should give, you know, it's all been about United bad, but wow, Liverpool's football was pretty spectacular.
Big 3 days coming up for Ollie, though, mate. We'll see how that goes, and if anything changes, obviously Spurs is the first one at the weekend. We'll talk about that in a minute.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
We're going to change our attention to a bit of League Cup action because it was a little bit of a shock in this competition today, mate. Manchester City got beat by West Ham. So West Ham had beat United last time out, beat City this time. It was 4 wins for City. It's almost become the Man City Cup, the League Cup. So, you know, it was a decent City team as well. So it's got to be a bit of disappointment for Pep because I know he's trying to get people a few minutes, and while it's not a priority for them, it's still a competition he's took reasonably serious, and it's always good to get the first one in the bag.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see the game. I was watching another game, which we'll talk about briefly in a minute. But that's a strong team. Jesus, Foden, Sterling up front. I mean, really, really strong team. 0-0. And, you know, they go out on penalties to West Ham United. But it's just the 0-0 part, Rob, isn't it? Raises an eyebrow.
No striker.
You know, the no striker. Is this team going to get enough goals consistently to win a Premier League title? That's where me and you have got a little, it's fun. We'll watch it this season. And you think they can do it, and they absolutely can do it. I just think this year, given the others, they might just not quite score enough consistently to get all the points they need. But listen, we will see. But, maybe a little bit of evidence that sometimes, you know, they might struggle.
I think Pep knows, listen, the City no striker is the Paul Pogba for Manchester United. It's going to be the stick the City get beat with. Pep at the weekend apparently did an interview with Sky after the game where they score 4 and said, I'm going to tell you something, one day we'll lose and you ask me, do we need a striker? Obviously, when they win, no one asks a question.
Yeah.
It's always going to be the way, isn't it? When you go for Harry Kane, you don't land him, you don't sign anybody else, play with a false nine. We continue to say, are the goals going to come from enough places to win them enough of the games? Tonight, obviously it wasn't.
Yeah, so one thing I was, again, I haven't had a chance to go back and watch the game. I saw that Jesus played, and the graphic that I saw him playing as a central player and Foden to the right-hand side.
Yeah,
now, again, in reality, that's why I like to go back and check everything because it's not always accurate. I was starting to really like Phil Foden as the nine, the false nine, Rob, the central player, because he's tried different people in there, and it may have been him again tonight, and I'll go back after this and I'll look at it.
It looked like it was Foden right, though, Jesus central.
On the graphical lineups that we see.
I checked on one of the sites, which
is
a bit strange, isn't it? Because you never quite, I mean, we had this discussion, I think we had a boot room discussion on the false nine, and not only playing it, but just sometimes the rotation of position and why somebody plays in different games. Is he looking for things against the opposition? Is he looking for the way his team play? You know, you talked about at least familiarity if Foden plays in there, feels better than keep moving around. But it does change it around, Rob. It's the way he's going to be. Sterling, Foden, Jesus all seem to get time in that central spot.
Yeah, I just, of those who's done it, Phil Foden over recent matches, I think he assisted in the Champions League. He scored a couple of goals, I think, in recent Premier League games. Really looked the part. But no, they are out of this competition where they have been absolutely fantastic. They've won titles in other competitions, but so many League Cup wins they've had in the last 4 years. And talking of titles and championships, Robbie Earle, how about this? The world's best thoroughbreds are heading to Del Mar for the Breeders' Cup World Championships, where they'll compete in 14 championship races worth $31 million in purses and awards.
So each racing season ends with just one finish line, the Breeders' Cup World Championship. It's the one event every horse, every jockey, every trainer, every owner across the globe has their sights on. So it's like a glorified for us Grand National, I suppose, Robbie Mustard, that big race that everybody wants to win with all the big profile?
There's some big races here, and this is definitely one of them. You can catch all the action live on November the 5th and 6th on NBC Sports.
Yeah, check out BreedersCup.com/2021 to learn more. So that's BreedersCup.com/2021 to learn more about the big race. Let's think about the the League Cup, Rob. I think there was a few interesting teams. You know, Arsenal are through, Liverpool got through, Chelsea got through, and Spurs got through a 1-0 win against Burnley today, which I think is important. Another important competition for a team like Nuno and Tottenham. And I think one of the big headlines coming out of this, Rob, was no Dele Alli in the squad. You know, in a games when you're thinking Dele Alli needs a bit of game time, he's not been part of the Premier League first 11. Where are we with Dele and his career at Spurs under another manager now who is, it would assume, seeming like he's not for them?
Well, that will be three managers that's kind of falling out of favour with him: Pochettino, Mourinho, and now Nuno. The first thing that we have to say, Rob, is that, you know, he was not in the squad, and there could be something that we don't know about, okay, like an injury. I checked multiple sources. There's some great websites out there for injured players in the Premier League, and none list him being injured. But again, could have food poison, anything.
If
it is for tactical reasons, and if Nuno doesn't trust him in the team anymore, then that's a really low point for Dele Alli. Another manager, he was playing at the start. I absolutely remember saying that, wow, he's got to be in the team at Spurs. He's surely better than some of the others. But this is too many times now, if this is the case. You know, a player, Rob, that has got so much talent but can't seem to find a way to be consistent in this team. Again, don't know what it is.
No.
Talent-wise, engine, athleticism, I think is superb. Summit mentally, Rob, with him that gets frustrated with his managers, or I just it's a real strange one when a player's been so great in this incredibly high level league, and yet over recent seasons can't find that form.
Well, again, like you, I was watching, picked up a few things on Sky News. Our partners in England, and it was a big headline, Rob. There's no Dele Alli in the squad. You know, people were talking about it, that he wasn't. There's nothing that has come out at that point, and I don't know where, like you say, sometimes there could be personal issues or something like that. That obviously, we hope he hasn't got anything serious happening in his life. But if it is a football decision and Nuno's decided, I mean, that's a big thing to do, Rob, because Nuno will know that that's going to grab a headline. He would know that you know, not putting him in the squad. I mean, you can even put him on the bench and not bring him on if he's unhappy. But not to have him in the squad almost sets the sense that he hasn't been doing things right in the training ground, or something's not been right. And it was interesting, Rob, because I kind of knew we were going down this road. So I had a little look at his career. 177 Premier League appearances he's had across a range of time. From 2015-16, he got 10 Premier League goals, came in from MK Dons and made a mark. 2016-17, he got 18 Premier League goals. 18 Premier League goals. We're now in the stage of the last 4 years. He's got 5-8-0-1 in the last 4 years. There's been a huge drop-off in a very different kind of, not one of a kind, but a very unique kind of midfield talent that we don't often see in English football, that can run free, that can go past the centre forward, that's a very clever finisher, that brings a little bit of attitude and edge into a midfield play. I thought he was a guaranteed top-class player, you know, even possibly moving on, top-class international for years to come. Yet something's happened, Rob, that's taken his eye off where he should be at the moment.
Yeah, it's one of the hardest. I don't get it. I just don't understand how you could fall off as much as that and have different managers try and reboot you, arm on the shoulder, the more leaving him out the squad thing. He's had that with different managers. I don't know what it is. I think we're at the point now where he needs to move on, Rob, and find his game somewhere else, whether that's a club overseas. Isn't that the most likely thing, Rob, that Dele Alli now moves on?
I hear you, but I'm kind of, part of me slightly disagreeing, because I think if he moves on and it's not the right move, Rob, I think we're on a downward slippy slope. I think we're talking, well, right now, which top 16 buys out Dele Alli? I don't think he goes to one of them.
I'm gonna chuck a random one at you, right?
Chuck an Everton or a Newcastle, maybe because of the money.
Higher.
Go on then.
Go on. Liverpool. Jurgen Klopp. Goal scoring midfield player.
Yeah.
Could Klopp get into his head and bring him back? Or is it too much of a risk
to bring
someone like that into the dressing room?
Well, yeah. It's a really interesting one, because he brings a thing that probably Liverpool lack a little bit in there. Maybe Ox hasn't quite got a Naby Keita. We'll have to see. He's had a bit of form, but injured every sort of the weekend again. I like it. I think it's a nice fit. My worry with Jurgen Klopp is all about the personality. We've heard him talk a lot about it. He goes into background of players, Rob. Finds out about the personality. I don't know whether Dele Alli would be a risk to him in that dressing room.
It's a rehab job. If there's one man in this league that could do it, Klopp could. Just think, Rob. I just don't know about that.
I think Pep gets
frustrated by players. I think it's quite a disciplined role. I don't think he's as close as warm as Jurgen Klopp. I think Dele Alli needs something warmer. It's got to be really hard to find what pushes the buttons. If there's one man that pushes buttons better than anybody else, I think it's Jurgen Klopp. And the potential upside, remember, goal scorer, great technique, good engine, could get back and do the hard work in midfield that you need. Again, I'm talking about a top of his game Dele Alli.
Yeah. But three, four years ago.
Yeah, but yeah, you do have to think about what he potentially could do. And listen, this is a random shout, and for most other clubs, Man United or what, no. But that special manager at Liverpool might just be able to bring him something.
Would you take him at Liverpool?
No, I wouldn't, because I couldn't do what Jurgen Klopp can. I'm saying it because of Jurgen Klopp, Rob.
But do you think for Liverpool, you think that would be a decent gamble?
If you forget about Liverpool for a minute, like, where's he going to go? Mid-table, overseas. What's his fee going to be? His fee can't be a great amount of fee. It can't be a big fee. For what he's done over the last three or four, you gave the numbers.
Let me chuck one at you. You get a chance to take Dele Alli or Pogba. Forget the money. Which one do you take? To Liverpool. It's the same. It's exactly the same argument. Pogba or Dele Alli?
I'd take Pogba.
Correct.
But he's going to be
He'd be on a free. He could be on a free in a year's time. It could be for nothing, Pogba.
Yeah, I just... That's a different... they're way different in all things.
Yeah, but you've got to manage them. They're both players who you've got to manage in a certain way. You've got to rehabilitate to get the best of.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd take Dele Alli because of the dressing room. I've got to be honest. If the three managers, if Nuno, and I don't think Nuno's a real toughie. We've had the Mourinho, he's had the Pochettino. So he's had three different ones. Pochu loved him, couldn't get the best in the end. Mourinho went hard. We saw like that was going to work, didn't last. Nuno looks like somewhere in between, hasn't worked. I just wonder in that dressing room where everything is everything about that group.
We've said it before. It's the hardest thing for us as pundits is to try and gather what he's like in that, because you never see that, and players don't talk about that sort of stuff. But of course, I agree with you in some ways, Rob. That there's so many managers now, and so much period of time has gone by. We still can't get the best out of him. Whether that is too much of a negative factor, and does Jurgen Klopp need to take a risk? Does Jurgen Klopp want to take on that rehab job? Maybe he doesn't. I'm just chucking a left field shout. With a low fee, given what he's done, that it might be something that surprises the football world and like, wow, he actually starts to do really well. But
yeah, good shout. Yeah. Listen, let's give Jurgen a call. Just let him know he's on the radar and see what he thinks.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn. with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. Plus, you can buy it online and pick it up in store, getting you outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See store at homedepot.com/delivery for details.
Let's move it to the big game at the weekend. So Spurs face Manchester United. Both teams desperately looking for the 3 points on this one. 12:30 Eastern time on Big NBC. Big game for a number of reasons. All eyes on Ollie and how Manchester United come back after the defeat last week. Spurs got beat in the derby against West Ham. Probably no Dele. If there's no Dele in League Cup action, I'm not sure there'll be Dele Alli against Manchester United. But how are we looking for Spurs, Manu? Who do you fancy in this one? Why?
Well, let me tell you this, mate. I just watched Spurs play in the League Cup against Burnley. And I know it's a League Cup. Both teams had strong teams, Rob. And Spurs' first half were awful. So were Burnley. Awful. Now, I know he's trying to figure things out, and we've said that. And it's going to take a little bit of time. To be fair, subs made in the second half, Rob, and they were a little bit better. They get the goal. Lucas scores the goal with a nice header. Emerson Royal with a nice cross in. But my takeaway, and again, like, it's the League Cup. Harry Kane looked disinterested, sluggish, didn't run very hard. He had an opportunity with his left foot in the first half that he pulled really badly. He looks really out of sorts. And again, Spurs fans listening, I hope I'm wrong at this weekend that he looks sharper than he did today against Burnley in the League Cup. But, you know, we all know what happened in the summer. I don't know. He looked a different player, Rob. I mean, there's a few moments. I remember he slid in somebody for a shot, might have been Lucas or somebody in there. But I thought he looked out of sorts. I thought Steven Bergwijn looked poor. They're having a struggle. They're having a struggle right now, as are United, of course, as well. And, of course, this game's coming up. And I'm really looking forward to the game because of that stadium. I'm assuming they're going to be right up for this game. It's going to be fascinating. But all eyes for me, my eyes will be peeled on Harry Kane. And give me some body language to indicate that you're up for working with Nuno Espirito Santo and trying to find a way to bring this club back to where it wants to be in the top four and pushing towards the top, because today, wow, didn't look up for it one bit.
Doesn't this add to your point? I think when we started the season talking about Harry and you were saying Spurs have to let him go, does this not play to the point that it's affecting him? It seems to be affecting him. It's the only thing we can say. I mean, he always looks hungry for goal. He always looks sharp around the box. Whatever, you know, when he's been hobbling on ankles or, you know, it just hasn't quite looked the same. You know, there was talk that, you know, he let Antonio go for the goal last week against West Ham United. There was talk that, you know, he didn't do a good job. And again, I think one or two of the press are starting to look at Harry and say, you know, what's happened with the England captain? Is he still as committed? It's a bit of a problem for Nuno. It's a big problem for Nuno now.
It is to try and motivate a player that really had his heart set on leaving. Huge offer came in and Daniel Levy, as stubborn as he is, refused it. And to be fair, I thought he should have sold him, but I still thought that Kane would get on and do his business. And maybe he will. We've had this before with Harry Kane. Doesn't score goals early in the season. Then he starts to find his form. And maybe that's going to happen again. I'm just telling you what I saw today, Rob. And that was something like, you know, on the back of some Spurs in the Premier League, hasn't scored. What's he got? Has he got one goal?
He got one against Newcastle, didn't he? He got one assist against Newcastle.
Right, and there's quite a chunk of games been gone now. So just something to watch for. It's something to watch for.
Yeah. Right now, mate, as we wrap up, who are you more worried for the immediate future? Spurs or Man United?
Gosh, that's a tough question because I'm worried for both of them. I wonder where Spurs are going. Yeah. Like, you know, and this rebuild and this patience with Nuno, is he going to inspire the team enough? Rob, that's what the first half, like, God, this team doesn't look inspired. United's is different problems, tons of good players, but a manager.
More solvable,
that it's more solvable, but it's a bigger club and the expectation's bigger. I guess I would probably be more worried if I was the Spurs fan. Because again, the squad at United is really, really good, and tons of top managers want to come in and fix it. Tottenham's a little different, and you know, you've got some problems there with the players, Harry Kane's motivation. Almost, I feel like you're starting again. We're trying to build a new Spurs team that Nuno's trying to do. Listen, it's early yet, Robin, and
yeah, you know, 10 games10 games at the weekend.
Nuno, it just might take Nuno some time. Might take him some time to get him on board.
Yeah, and the fans will have to stay with him, and hopefully, you know, like Dele Alli can get his head together and start doing his bit on the pitch, because they need as many good players as he can. Listen, mate, we're going to wrap it up there for this week, and a big week coming up for Ollie as he bids to keep his job. 3 games, apparently, Spurs, Atalanta and Manchester in the Manchester City and the Manchester Derby, while Dele Alli's career seems to be at a bit of a crossroads. We'll just kind of see which direction he takes. We'll be back on Sunday, October the 31st, when we'll recap all games from Match Week 10. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, be healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of items like pavers or planters to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.